Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
We need to be educated what the Bible has to say concerning the end of time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul says, "And then comes the end when He shall lay down all rule, power, and authority, and shall deliver up the kingdom unto our God." The Bible identifies without any question that Jesus Christ is coming again. And I find it interesting that there are individuals who give themselves over to a study of last things. This is eschatology. Well, in this, they look at passages of Scripture and they draw from the Scripture their doctrine that they present in a premillennial concept. In fact, a passage they go to is found in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verses 1 through 43. And in the context of all of this, they look to the signs that Israel was to look for, the Jews were to consider, as God was looking to destroy Jerusalem. However, in the context, these people do not see that this refers to the destruction of Jerusalem, but rather that it speaks to the end times. And for that reason, they are constantly looking for the signs that would be here present in the world. And good people, the Bible identifies for us that indeed, that these were not signs for us, but rather that they were signs that God's people living at that time needed to look for and to understand the seriousness concerning the fact that God was going to obliterate the Jewish system after it had been nailed to the cross. They also turn to the book of Revelation, from Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 through the end of the book of Revelation. And in all of this, they look to the apocalyptic language. They look to the symbolic language that is found therein. And good people, they want to deduce from what they find to be symbols and codes and signs that would point man to the time in which God is going to send Jesus Christ to this world. And as they assert that He would then, in His coming, rapture away, which, by the way, the word rapture is never found in the Bible. It is a Latin word, rapturo, and is found in the Latin text, but never in the Greek Koine language. In all of this, though, they conclude that God is going, in the return of Christ, to rapture away the faithful, and then to allow a period of turmoil and destruction here upon the face of the earth for 7 years. And at that time, then, Jesus, at the close of that 7 years, will come and establish a physical earthly kingdom and reign here upon the face of the earth for 1,000 years. And then He's going to take man away to stand before God in judgment. Good people, these things are not seen in Revelation, nor are they found anywhere else in the New Testament Scripture. They look at these passages of Scripture, and the Bible identifies for us, because they are untaught and unstable, they are as what is presented in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. They twist these Scriptures to their own destruction. However, they are constantly shouting forth, "The end is near." And in fact, good people, they want to nail it down to an exact day, and as was the case yesterday, even to a very precise time, with a distinction as well as a determination concerning the events that's going to take place. Who is responsible for this? In large part, we find is that those who want to prophesy, and I use that term loosely, concerning the end of time, it comes from those within the Jehovah Witness. The people from 1914 and following, as according to history, we find is that these people have consistently put forth dates when Jesus Christ is coming. However, they have failed each and every time. Why? Because we cannot know. Harold Camping is the man that we want to put on the spotlight in regard to this prophecy. It's interesting to me that in 1994, Jesus, according to this man, was to come between September the 15th and September the 17th. However, according to what he said, he had it revealed to him by God in 1992 that indeed that date was going to be wrong, but rather that Jesus was going to come May the 21st, 2011. However, he continued to stand on that date, drawing supporters as well as financial support for the advocating of this false doctrine. And good people, as 1994 came, September the 15th through the 17th, and Jesus did not return, Camping and his camp returned home disappointed because the Lord had let them down. However, they soon wrapped their thoughts, their concepts around May the 21st, 2011. and camping, having one failed prophecy, still is able to gather support in a very large number as far as souls are concerned, as well as from a financial standpoint. One man living in New York cashed in his life savings of almost $200,000 in order to make advertisements on the railroad system there, as well as on RVs and anywhere they could put these advertisement slogans that the world was going to end May the 21st at 6 p.m. Good people, yesterday at 6 p.m., what were you doing? I was sitting there thinking to myself, okay, it's interesting, time is approaching, and I don't hear of any earthquakes, and in fact, 6 p.m. had already gone in other parts of the world. And in fact, he says that the Lord was going to come at 6 o'clock to each continent whenever it reached that time frame. And we did not hear that others were being swooped away and that the earth was shaking and that judgment has now started. And at 6 p.m. here, at 6:01, we were still here. And this one man in New York, they saw him standing there in Times Square at 6 p.m. holding his Bible open and looking unto heaven. And they said at 6:01, he's still there with his Bible open looking unto heaven. At 6:10, he's still there. And then finally, he closes his Bible and walks away. Harold Camping was wrong again. Why was he wrong, good people? Because according to the Bible truly identifies that Jesus Christ is coming again. In the book of John, chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know." Jesus Christ says, without any question, that He is coming again. In fact, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 11, whenever Jesus Christ has ascended into heaven, the angel said to the men who were gazing up into heaven, says, "This one whom you have seen ascend in like vigor, he will come again." The Bible clearly asserts that indeed Jesus Christ is coming again. And man, in our understanding, and according to what we want to know, we say, when is Jesus coming again? Good people, the Bible clearly identifies that there will be no signs. He says that it will be in the days of Noah. Well, what was going on in the days of Noah? Good people, we understand that man was going about by his daily life. Man was going about and living. And yet at the same time, they were unexpected concerning the flood. There were no signs concerning the coming of the flood. Was Noah preaching and teaching concerning the coming of the flood? Absolutely he was. And today we stand and we proclaim God's message and warning and for people to heed the salvation that is brought forth in Christ. But yet at the same time, that is indeed the only warning that we have. There are no signs that's going to preclude the coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bible says that no man camping nor anyone will know. We cannot put together mathematical figures brought forth out of the Bible. We cannot look to signs that are not there and be able to conclude when Jesus is coming. No man will know. In fact, the Bible concludes that the angels, angelic beings, the heavenly host, they do not even know. And in fact, it even says Jesus Christ Himself does not know. As I pondered that thought there, good people, I thought to myself, does Camping think that he's better than Jesus? Does he think that he has an end that even Jesus Himself did not have? And not only Camping, but these other individuals who would conclude that they believe they know when Jesus Christ is coming. In Luke chapter 20 and Luke chapter 12 and verse 40, we are told that in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. In all of these things, good people, we will not know when Jesus is coming, but the Bible does tell us that we can know that He is coming. And for this reason, we need to constantly be prepared to meet the Lord. But this morning I want to ask you, what if it were true? What if Jesus had come yesterday? Where would we be right now? time, according to what we find in the Bible, was created by God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Good people, in the beginning, asserts that God is responsible for time. Where is God in all of this, according to what we find in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8? A day is as 1,000 years in the Lord. But what is it God is trying to say to us, good people? God is outside of time. God lives in eternity. And if Jesus Christ had come back yesterday, time would be no more, and today you and I would be in the eternal realm. What would be going on, good people, in the results of all this too? We understand that the earth was created by God. In Genesis chapter 1, or Genesis chapter 2, we understand, according to verses 1 through 17, that the earth was created for man. In order for man to inhabit and to dwell here upon the face of the earth, God created this earth for us. And in all these things, though, too, Peter asserts in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 and following, that whenever Jesus Christ comes, the earth would melt away with fervent heat. And for that reason, good people, the earth would be destroyed. The earth of which you and I now are living in would not be here if Jesus had come yesterday. But also we understand concerning the body. God has created the body, the physical, fleshly body that we reside in. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God said, "Let us create man after our image, after our own likeness." Whenever Jesus Christ returns, the Bible says that the body will be no more, but rather that we will be changed. What type of image will we take on at that time? According to what we find in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1 through 4, is that we will be like Jesus. We will be changed to be like our Lord. In all of this, good people, we understand, what if Jesus had come right now, you and I would stand before God in judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 says that we will stand before God in judgment. In fact, we understand that whenever we stand before God in judgment, the Apostle Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10 that we will stand before the righteous judge. God will be the righteous. He will judge us rightly. He will look at our life in comparison to the things that we have done or have not done here upon the face of this earth, in comparison to what the Bible commands us to do. And good people, in all of these things, as He compares our life to the Scripture, we can conclude that rightfully so, He will call the shots as they ought to be called. And we understand also, according to what's taught in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, that we will stand before not only the Father, we will stand before Jesus as well as before the Holy Spirit. And we will be judged by the entirety of the Godhead. In all of this, our lives will indeed be judged. According to what the Apostle Paul taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, and whenever we stand before God, we will give an account of the good as well as the evil that we have committed in this world. Paul told those in Rome, in Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and 12, he says, "Every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess." If the world had ended yesterday, we would be standing before God to give an account of everything that we have done in this world. And good people, if those things that are contrary to the will of God have been covered in the blood of Jesus, we don't have anything at all to worry about. But if we have sins that are still out there, if we have sins that we have never acknowledged, if we have never given our life over to God, the Bible identifies that this will indeed be brought out, and it will be brought out against us. And we will not be able to escape that. He says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There are things that we might be able to escape in life. There are things that we might be able to dismiss and to put it to the side. But the judgment before God, we will not be able to put it aside. We will all stand before Him. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, God will judge the secrets of man according to my gospel, according to the book that He has given us, according to His Word. Right now, you and I will be sentenced by God to eternity. The Bible identifies in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46 that the righteous will go on to eternal life, but those who are condemned will go on to eternal condemnation. Those who have found faithful to God, if we were standing before God in judgment right now,
we would have heaven as our eternal reward. A place where there's no weeping, a place where there is no pain, a place where there is nothing but comfort in the very presence of God. And in that I tell you that a part of me wishes the world had ended yesterday. Amen? Because this world of which we live in has heartache, pain, suffering, and it sure is not going in the direction that God wants us to go. And if the world had ended yesterday, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to be in the presence of God throughout eternity without end? But yet at the same time, there's the other side of that, to where those who have not confessed Christ to be Lord and Savior, or those who are not living their life faithful, who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, the Bible says that they would now be sentenced to eternal condemnation. According to what is found in Luke chapter 13 and verse 28, a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. And good people understand that that's not just a moment, but rather that that is eternal punishment and torment for those who are outside of Christ. If Jesus had come yesterday, where would you stand before God? But today I ask another question. What if Jesus comes today? Will you be ready to stand in judgment before God? If there's any question in your mind in regard to that, if you have never been baptized into Christ, the answer is that you would be lost. But God does not want that, nor do we want that. God has given forth Jesus Christ, His Son, in order to make a preparation, to give a means of the forgiveness of sin. And each day we stand ready as His people to teach and to baptize people into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. God does not want you to be lost, nor do we want anyone to be lost. Maybe we have those who have been baptized, but yet at the same time they're not living their life as what they ought to live. If God were to come today, the Bible identifies that in like figure you would be lost. And again, God does not want that, nor do we. Think about these things. If you had to stand before God today in judgment, where would you spend eternity?